and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, the road is going to kill me. I can confirm that right now.
Uh-oh.
The guy who owns the show is trying to kill me with the life insurance money. His dream will finally come true. Oh, my God, what a time in Madison.
Was it?
I mean, the sexy liberal show. Yeah, Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang and I. Saturday night in Madison, I don't even know what to say. Go to our Facebook page. There's pictures and, sadly for me, video, which I'm sure will end up on Fox News later.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, dear. That can't...
Yeah, people have cell phone video cameras now,
who
Stephanie.
Knew? Yes, there were F-bombs. That's the whole point of it. Being live and not restricted by the FCC. All right. Julie writes, Steph, congrats on your smash hit opening night of the Sexy Liberal Show. Soon you'll be back on Broadway with your booze and dope. Yeah, I can't
Stephanie
crawl
Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Yep.
So you come crawling back to Broadway. Mm. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Oh, well.
Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
Mm-hmm. Two of them, Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang, who were brilliant. And thank you, everybody in Madison. And the fine folks, we gave a bunch of money to the fine folks at UnitedWisconsin.com who were there for the recalls. And it was just, it was amazing. What I'm most worried about is the video. Well, Hal and I thought we were doing a public service.
Yeah.
Because, you know, remember when the whole teabag thing started?
Right.
I really didn't know what it was because I'm an elderly shut-in.
We had to explain it to you.
Yeah. Well, Hal and I demonstrated it on stage.
Oh,
it was,
boy.
Yeah. Because a lot of people still don't know. So it was sort of like a,
so how
it was like a, you know, health class, science class kind of. It was Hal, science stack.
Hal teabagged you?
Yes. Yeah, we demonstrated.
Okay.
Well, of course.
Well, I don't know.
What are you implying, that I could have teabagged him?
I have no idea. I've never been down there.
All right, we have another exciting announcement in just a moment, but this is incredible. We told this story. Someone tried to bribe our booker to stop booking the Sexy Liberal Tour before it even started Saturday.
Yep.
The right wing, they're going crazy. They're going crazy,
they
Chris.
They
hate all of their presidential candidates. They're losing on every issue at every poll.
Yeah.
And they're trying to shut down the Sexy Liberal Show before it even starts.
Offering $10,000.
Yes. Rowan was saying they hate the name. And we're going, hey, idiots, it's a joke. But they're just like,
well,
liberalism is not attractive in any way or profitable. Oh.
They hate it when liberals get capitalistic.
Yes, because, you know, we're sold out everywhere,
yeah.
And they're just, it's making people crazy, apparently. And thank God, Shano says, Steph, I attached a little audio goodness based on the Roland bribe email. Oh, heavens, here we go.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is taking the country by storm, packing theaters across the nation. And conservatives are losing their minds.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and radio goddess Stephanie Miller are touring America, and the Republicans are so afraid of the truth that they want to shut them down.
I say, shut it down.
Oh, no, she didn't!
Don't let that happen. Bring the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to your area. Contact your favorite venue and demand it. Tell your friends, make a Facebook page, tag at Sexy Liberal on Twitter, and be sure to like Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Let it be known that we all want the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show because it's the show conservatives don't want you to see.
Come on. Thank you, Shano. Yeah, and this is quite a high-end operation to shut down.
Yes, yeah.
You would have loved this.
Uh-oh.
The guy who owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money,
He
drove me and Hal and John to the venue. He rented a Volvo that's about the size of a smart car.
Oh.
So I didn't need to go to Walgreens for my pap smear. You know, Hal just gave me one right in the back seat. John Fugelsang was doing a little kundalini yoga.
Fugelsang is tall.
He's 6'2".
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you know what a cheap bastard Ron is. It was...
Well. But I thank him for signing my paychecks.
We're all mushed in this. We're going, this is like so low rent. We're just chugging to the theater. All right. And, oh, by the way, all right. Brand new announcement. Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, ladies and gentlemen. Sexy Liberal Show coming to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina.
That's right.
Saturday, June 4th. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at the Durham Performing Arts Center. So we've gotten tons of letters from Durham, North Carolina. And by the way, I expect to see every living sentient being from Asheville there as well. You know what I'm talking about.
That's right. We love us some Asheville.
Very excited. So Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Oh, the big show coming up next. Syracuse, May 14th.
Yep.
Ticketmaster.com, big fight for marriage equality going on there that we're going to join.
Yep.
Anti-fracking, there's lots of, we got stuff to do.
That's the don't frack with us date.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That is May 14th. Get your tickets quickly on that one. It's going fast at Ticketmaster.com. Raleigh-Durham, Saturday, June 4th. Minneapolis, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. And much more to be announced, sadly, for my health. All right. I'm sorry that took so much time because he's here, my favorite.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Speaking of sexy liberals. First time I saw you on TV, I said that to Chris, yeah. Eric. I said, oh, my God, hot, hot, hot. Who knew?
Silence.
I've stunned him.
Yeah.
You know, when you've only heard someone, I was like, well, I had no idea. Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Oh, boy.
So, first of all, what the WTF with the New York Times? You.
Oh, yeah, that was sort of the disappearing birther scoop.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. There's your post about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they created quite a stir last week because they had this poll that showed, what was it, 45% of registered Republicans or Republican, you know, voters didn't think Obama was born in America.
Right.
And so, you know, that's very
47,
big.
Yeah. And then 22 weren't sure. So that makes almost 70%.
So,
I guess that's right.
That's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's just the latest indication, you know, of just how completely
insane.
The mainstream conservative movement has become. They're embracing this obvious debunked lie. So first, you know, the Times completely buried the story. They put it in, like, you know, the 15th paragraph in a story about the rest of the polling results. And the rest of the polling results were, you know, Republicans aren't very excited about the, you know, potential White House candidates. And that story's been written about, you know, 25 different times. But they thought that was the lead. And so they buried the birther stuff way down, and it was just two sentences in the story. But everyone noticed it, and it became, like, the most linked-to story based on that. And then later in the day, the Times deleted those two sentences from the story. So when people linked on the story that went around and around, there was no reference anywhere in the story to the amazing fact that basically half of Republicans don't think Obama is eligible to be president.
Yeah.
So it sort of disappeared. First they buried it, and then they disappeared it. The next day the polling stats did show up in a different story. But the whole thing was a little odd, I thought.
This, I have to say, Eric, I don't know what you think. This is the oddest political story I've seen in my time. Here we have a guy that this came up already in the primaries.
Right.
We already had a presidential election. I mean, it's like, did they
and
seriously think everybody missed something here?
Right.
I mean, it's...
And there's no new information. Yeah. And so Donald Trump and other people go on TV and they say, why hasn't Obama shown his birth certificate? And people say, he has. And then they say, no, he hasn't. And then people say, yes, he... I mean, there's... It's such a non-story because there's nothing to even to argue about. It's either, you know, the world is flat. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
What's amazing is the story hasn't gone anywhere. As I wrote, you know, a couple weeks ago, I mean, even during Clinton and the Whitewater nonsense, I mean, there were actual news events that sort of kind of advanced the story. There were congressional hearings. There were leaks. In the end, Whitewater turned out to be a total joke.
Right.
But there were things that sort of looked like news so the press or, you know, Clinton critics could pretend there was a news story. With the birther thing, there's nothing.
That's right.
I mean, there's literally no new information in the last 3 or 4 years. So
yeah, because you're Eric Bollard and you're brilliant, that's the best analogy I've heard.
Yeah.
That is perfect. It's literally what it must have been like when they proved the Earth wasn't flat. There were still people like, yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Yes, it is.
And, you know, you're just like, what? Okay, it's already been you know what? I'm not talking to you anymore. I mean, that's what it's like, is I think on our side, a lot of people, Eric, have felt like – I'm not even getting in this discussion. This is ridiculous. You know what I mean? And then, but then you look at these numbers and go, really? Do we have to keep having this discussion? I mean, it's...
Apparently you do. And apparently, and one of the reasons you do is because Donald Trump comes along and he wallows in this obvious debunked lie.
Right.
And you opened up the page of the New York Times last week, and there's David Brooks, supposedly a very serious conservative, writing this cheerleading column about what a great guy Donald Trump is. In like the 18th paragraph out of 20, he says, oh, by the way, this birther stuff is nonsense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even serious people are giving Trump a total pass. They're cheerleading him, saying what a wonderful guy he is. Oh, by the way, the birther stuff is nonsense. Look, if David Brooks was serious, truly a serious person, the entire column
right.
would have been condemning Trump for trying to get the GOP to become synonymous with an obvious debunked lie.
Right. And
but
Eric,
it's become completely mainstream.
Yeah. Eric, and before we go in, dive into right-wing world, I mean, I thought the other post you had that shows what we keep saying every day is just how really crazy far to the right this version of the Republican Party has gone, and not to engage in hyperbole. I mean, really more so than ever before is that you're saying a former Bush official warned against the birther trap. I mean, remember how crazy and right-wing we thought the Bush administration was? The fact that people from the Bush administration are the ones that are going, wait a minute.
This is out of control.
Yeah.
And remember how crazy we thought, you know, the Clinton haters were. And we thought, my gosh, we've never seen anything quite this demented. These people just don't listen to logic.
Well, Eric, maybe you're right.
Back and you think, wow, those people were geniuses compared to what we see today.
But maybe you're right. Maybe this is just a different version of, oh, he's a rapist and a drug runner and a this. It's the racist version. And by the way, he's black and he's not even qualified to be president.
What it is the mainstream version. There wasn't a Fox News to repeat that Bill Clinton was a rapist and a murderer every day.
Yeah.
And now there is one to repeat every conceivable lie about Obama. So that's really the difference in that it's been completely mainstreamed, and now there's a very friendly media outlet to echo this radical stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, I chewed up this entire first segment by chatting with you because I find you so mesmerizing. Can you hang on? We'll come back with Right Wing World. All right, Eric Bowler from Media Matters. Oh, my boy crushes. My liberal boy crushes. All right. By the way, we have $50 gift cards to Sherry's Berries for all the best calls this morning. Right in time for Mother's Day. Yep. Yay!
Yay!
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with Eric Bowler for Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour brought to you by this Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned vehicle, certified affordable luxury. Why, thank you. Another fine sponsor of the Stephanie Miller Show, Eric Bollert, whom I'm unnaturally attached to in the sidecar for Right Wing World. Here we go, Eric. Let's dive in. Let's see. Where's my... Thank you!
Yes!
Sorry, it's Monday, Eric. I'm like my Dodge Dart in Buffalo in the winter. All right, here we go. Franklin Graham on ABC's This Week.
The president, I know, has some issues to deal with here. He can solve this whole birth certificate issue pretty quickly. I don't know why he can't produce that as it relates to Muslim. There are many people that do wonder where he really stands on that. Now, he has told me that he is a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But the debate comes, what is a Christian? For him, going to church means he's a Christian. For me, the definition of a Christian is whether we have given our life to Christ and are following him in faith.
Wow, this is really beyond disgusting, isn't it, Eric?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, lecturing people about their faith and what they believe.
And how they should believe it.
And you have Reagan and God knows how many people never went to church. I'm like,
they should prove it to him that
that
he is a Christian.
That you're Christian enough or the right kind of Christian or not hiding your Musliminess.
And this was yesterday on ABC's This Week, and Christiane Amanpour just sat there silent.
She sat there. She sat there for the birther stuff, and
she
sat there for he has to prove to me he's a Christian stuff. I mean, come on, just because his last name is Graham and he's a pastor doesn't mean you sit there. Like a zombie and just let him ramble on these nasty attacks. I mean, if that had been a Republican member of Congress, I don't think she would have just sat there. Why did she sit here sit there and let this, you know. But
exactly. There's
like
this.
That.
There's this phony, you know, Eric.
Yeah.
Like respect. Always a man of God, and it's like here he is, perpetrating the same birther nonsense and putting the onus on the president. I don't know why he won't just clear this up and produce it. It's like, oh my God, you're a journalist. He has produced it.
Yeah,
he has produced
starters,
the birth certificate
yeah.
that the state of Hawaii says is the official birth certificate. I mean, it's like. You know what I mean? It's just they keep, oh, you know, I'm sure that's how they're sidestepping this now, aren't they, Eric? Like, oh, I'm sure he is America, but, you know, he could put this all to rest if he just would release his birth certificate.
Yeah, and she doesn't have to be rude about it. Just state the fact during an interview. I mean, if you're sitting there and someone on a nationally televised news program is stating obvious falsehoods and really sort of nasty, odious, debunked lies.
In the name of God, yeah.
In the name of God. You say something.
Yeah. On Easter!
Really, not good at all.
Yeah.
No! I'm sorry, I'm only getting one soundbite to write with words. No! No, it's just a combination.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Gretchen Carlson.
The word on the street, Tara, is that the Democrats are most fearful
oh, really?
Of Donald Trump
yes.
right now
oh, yes.
as the Republican candidate.
Most fearful
the word,
of Trump?
That's Fox journalism, the word on the street.
The word between the green room and the studio.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was, she's right. We're terrified. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, Sean Hannity.
The Ryan budget would almost double the amount in Medicare spending. Then we have the issue
what?
Of the birther.
What?
Issue that's out there. So here's a serious proposal, $6.2 trillion in cuts that will save Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, and that is literally should be debated. It's characterized in a false way, but the media would have you believe that the only thing conservatives talk about is the birth certificate.
That's
yes, that's because that's all you talk about.
Because if you turn on Fox News, that's all they talk about. But what's really interesting is, I mean, there is polling data, I mean, from the Times last week that shows, you know, Americans are definitely very concerned about the economy, and Obama is getting lower marks on the economy. And so here's this obvious political opening for something, you know, a serious candidate to step forward and talk about the economy
yeah.
and talk about jobs, and they are obsessed. I mean, we said it before. I mean, they are fighting the last war. I mean, this was all discussed during
right.
the previous campaign. It's got nothing to do with job creation. It's got nothing to do with everyday lives of anyone.
Right. I love
and,
that.
And they're just obsessed.
I love that he said, when he said, you know, they think the only thing conservatives talk about is the birth certificate, and like an hour later, Greta Van Susteren had Donald Trump on, and all they talked about was the birth certificate. You know,
stop
I mean.
Judging Fox News by what
yeah.
you see on Fox News.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just his point disproved an hour later. All right, Eric, we've talked so long that now I need to hold you over another break. Is that okay?
Uh-oh. Okay.
All right, I only have three more bites for you. Hang on, there he goes. He's being a trooper this
yes.
morning. God, I'm too chatty even for a talk show host.
What's up with that?
Yeah, well, we have a big hunk of Glenn Beck
yeah.
coming up. So
and Britt Hume.
No one articulates the right's thoughts more clearly than our friend Britt Hume. Oh, how we miss him. Well said. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
For some reason, I continue to opt for honesty, despite mounting evidence that it's inexorably transforming me into an old woman alone in a one-room apartment filled with 30-year-old newspapers and cats.
I swear the sexy liberal tour is just a ploy to get me out of the house.
Uh-huh.
Oh. You know, Hal Sparks and John Fugel saying they're old road warriors. They're a little more cynical. I was like a retriever out in it for a car ride. I was like, this isn't great. You guys, we're going to Madison. Hal goes, I hate traveling with shut-ins. I saw him for 2 minutes in the airport, and I'm like, why are you being so distant? Aren't you excited? He's like, he'd been with his band all night in San
right.
Francisco. He's just like,
yeah,
All right. All right. Eric Bollert rejoins us because he's very patient. And Glenn Beck on the TV. Here we go.
The final chapter begins of the Glenn Beck program. I announced a couple
oh,
of weeks
no.
ago that I'll be leaving this 5 p.m. show.
Oh, dear.
There are other things that I feel compelled to do. I have felt a responsibility to be the guy who's ringing the bell, but I don't think that there's going to get any, that we're not going to get anybody else into the boat. I do believe that these radicals have nefarious plans for our country and for us as a people. It's just time for me as a citizen to get involved more than I'm doing here. Because now all I'm doing is preaching to the choir, it seems.
Wow, I've never seen a spin on getting canceled quite like that, Eric. Not much call for bell ringing at 5 p.m. apparently anymore at Fox.
No, and he also unveiled the final chapter chalkboard, which folks can check out at Media Matters.
Right.
So, it's the beginning of the end, Becca's tired of preaching to the converted, apparently.
Oh, the right and right-wing world will be poorer for it. We hardly knew ye.
Oh, but we still have his radio show.
Oh, gosh. And we still have the clear thinking and articulation of Brit Hume.
I think what we're seeing here is the president is kind of making it up as he goes along, as he confronts this chaotic and either hopeful or not so hopeful situation in the Middle East. And I think that in terms of Libya, he really kind of doesn't know what to do next. And what I think, and what I hope he's learning, is the indispensability of American leadership. But I don't think the president really clearly knows what to do. And I think he is content here to have failure be an option.
Ah, I see. So sometimes world events are unexpected and you have to somehow react to them in a way as it goes along. This is also shocking, isn't it, Eric?
Well, it takes a veteran, a Beltway veteran like Brit Hume to state the obvious sometimes.
Right.
But it's interesting. He also said that if the election were held today, Obama would lose. And I think it was Juan Williams said to who. But Hume just said it would be a referendum on Obama, and he would clearly fail. So, again, it's at least Fox is dedicated to its worldview.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and we close today with Rush Limbaugh. Here we go.
Now, I realize, folks, that I am the nation's morale officer. That is just one of the things that accrues to me. It's by default. I, L. Rushmore, am many things, including the morale officer of this country. The other side will collapse of its own moral corruption.
Okay.
What?
Oh. All right. Huh? What was that based on, Eric? I don't even know.
Well, I mean, if you listen to his show, I mean, all day, all week, he outlines all the moral corruptions of the left. But,
So John Ensign just resigned and Rush Limbaugh has been married how many times?
The conservative movement wants Donald Trump and as its political leader and Rush Limbaugh as its moral leader.
I see.
Then,
yes.
Power to them.
Yes, and of course Newt Gingrich. And I see, but they still somehow hold the moral values party title.
Yeah.
Is that? Yes, I see. And John Ensign, of course, as we mentioned last week, Eric, he had to. He suddenly was concerned about his family.
Suddenly.
Yes, because once you've had your in someone else's family, then it's really time to start thinking about your own family. And it's laughable, isn't it?
Well, they've always stuck to this. It's funny. I mean, during the 80s and 90s, they still kind of had this claim to sort of being the Christian moral party.
Sure.
But as more and more Republican members of Congress have to leave after bouts like Ensign, it sort of becomes comical. And here's, Rush Limbaugh, a drug addict.
Yes. I think the challenge becomes saying it with a straight face.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Eric Bowler.
People laugh along.
Yeah.
Eric Bowler, thank you so much. I promise next week I won't be quite as chatty. Thanks for staying with us so long.
Talk to you soon.
All right. There he goes, Eric Bowler. I love him. And he's a good sport.
Yes, he is.
All right. Oh, Stephanie in Madison, Wisconsin. There she is. There's my girl. Hi, Steph.
Hey, I just want to tell the rest of the country as they're bracing for your show, it is so frickin' fantastic.
Oh, thank you, honey. You got it. You came to the stage and got a big hug because you're famous, and you were working. You were ushering.
Yeah, I was ushering the first show, and then I kind of got sucked in to stamping people when they were coming in the door for the second show, but I didn't miss anything. And, Matt, John Fugelsang was so great, but Hal Sparks, freaking on fire.
Yes.
I have never seen him live before.
Yeah,
I will now. So.
Yeah, they're both amazing.
And I also watch his, he's on Saturday in Chicago, and I think the mic should put them on Saturday here.
Yes.
So, but I also want to just say really quick, this birth certificate stuff, it's such garbage. I'm a Navy brat, born on a military base in Maine. My document of birth is the same as the president's. It's like if you order a passport, you have to have one of these certificates of birth.
Yeah.
You cannot show your hospital birth certificate or whatever.
Same thing here in California.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you get a driver's license.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's just, and I am so sick. I can't even watch those Sunday shows anymore.
I know. I know,
they're
me too.
So...
So Steffi, here's the good news. Even though you didn't say anything good about me, it was all about Hal and John.
No,
you win a $50 Sherry's Berries gift certificate from Mama.
No, you were so lovely. I was with my friend Chris, and I forgot to have you say happy birthday to him because it was his birthday on Saturday night, and he was just laughing so hard.
Aww.
We were so inspired, and thank you so much.
Thank
the
you, honey.
Bottom of my heart.
Thank you, honey. I know you're dealing. Are you dealing with is it MS?
I have fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia.
The spring
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I know.
Me. You know, one day it's 60, and the next day it's 30. You know.
But well, honey, you are a sweet, sweet soul, and you get a $50 gift certificate to Sherry's Berries.
Aww.
Okay, hang on. All right.
Thanks.
All right. Love you, honey. Berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Type in Stephanie. These are amazing, huge, delicious berries.
Yes.
Get your mommy.
Covered
mommy
with chocolate and other stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. You see how I forked a compliment out of her there?
Yes,
at the end?
You did.
All right. Joe writes, Steph, I really enjoyed your show in Madison. I apologize if I was a dork slash annoying. No, you were not.
She says no.
Joe, nobody was a dork or annoying. A good time was had by all. I loved each and every one of you. I had a couple of margaritas before I got to the meet and grope. Oh, that
uh-oh.
Guy. Okay. Listen, I appreciate every extra grope I can get. Hope you enjoy the photos. I think we put those up at the
Facebook page.
Facebook.com/sexyliberal.
Sexy liberal, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Lots of cameras.
Oi.
Who knew? And recording devices.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure I got to wrap my mind around, because I thought if we had cameras and we're used streaming, but we didn't, and I sort of forgot all about the cell phone cameras.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that the live exhibition of Hal and I demonstrating teabagging would get on the interwebs, but
yes.
Oh well.
It is.
You well, enjoy Newsbusters.
You haven't done stand-up since the invention of video cameras and cell phones, have you?
Yeah. Yuck Yucks. You know what? What happened at Yuck Yucks stayed at Yuck Yucks.
Right.
In Buffalo. There was... this is a chance to see live filth. And here's the other thing.
What?
It's because I'm so unprepared, it's going to be different in every city.
That's right.
I write it on the plane. Honestly, it's all topical and local. It's delightful. It's in a Chardonnay-soaked napkin.
That's right. Are you going to make fracking jokes?
Yes!
In Syracuse?
And then we do paddle and Q&A, and so it's all different in every city.
Wow.
You need to go to every city. Let's go to Lynn in Texas.
Just like the Grateful Dead.
Exactly.
Steph heads.
Yes. Lynn in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, good morning. I think I'm the radical Presbyterian of your show.
Oh, we needed one.
Oh, well, aren't they all?
It's true, but the thing that really chaps me about Franklin Graham is that he goes on national television on Easter Sunday, and what he did was bear false witness.
That's thank
one
you.
Of the Ten Commandments. I think he knows what the Ten Commandments are, but his daddy cannot be proud.
Yeah. No, thank you. I mean, Lynn, absolutely, it hit me the same way. I went, oh, my God, on Easter Sunday, I'm like, but in the name of God, oh, I was...
You okay?
That just really... How often... I'm like almost immune to right-wing world. How often does something rub me the wrong way like that?
Yeah.
All right. Michael in the Bronx. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, honey.
You know, two things. Number one, I find it really disgusting how right-wing is going to say now that President Obama has to prove that he's a Christian. Not only does Obama go to church, but he acts in a Christian manner.
Thank you.
Unifying people, and unlike certain proclaimed Christian that wanted to turn around and burn the holy book of another religion and shoot a gun up in the air. And as far as Donald Trump goes with the birth and stuff, you know, I find it disgusting that he's on Celebrity Apprentice talking to LaToya Jackson, giving kudos to Michael and says, my friend Michael Jackson, and then bashes Obama. And MJ was a supporter of Obama. He keeps asking for the birth certificate. And then
he's a joke. He's going to announce on the Celebrity Apprentice. Please.
Finale.
So you know
Donald Trump, you're fired.
That's right. Yeah,
go,
baby.
Michael.
You're fired.
Yeah. You know, if you're in the presence of who is it on that? Gary Busey and Meatloaf. You know that it's. I think Bill Maher said that. You know it's serious.
Yeah.
What a joke! What a joke! All right, lots more to get to. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Scott Keyes, he's the guy who did the video of the booing Paul Ryan town hall. Oh, boy. I haven't seen Eddie Munster that upset since Grandpa shaved his widow's peak off by accident. You remember
that? Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Yeah.
I won't go! I won't!
They were going to try to take him to a proper barber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so he's coming up. Edie McClurg, of course, for Mondays with McClurg. And actor Peter Gallagher, this is awesome. He narrated Gas Hole, What the Oil Companies Don't Want You to Know, which is awesome.
Be careful how you say that.
Excuse me?
Gas Hole.
All right. Are you referring to me? I have trouble with that guy's name, the right-wing radio host, Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgecock.
See? I have such a hard time with it. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, baby.
I loved you Saturday night. It was great. But I never got an answer to my question.
What was that, honey?
So we both don't have to be childless losers. I was wondering if you would be my surrogate mother so we can have gaby together.
You want to have a gaby? All right. I say yes.
No. Tim, I'm going to have to veto that because I do not want her pregnant for 9 months.
You know, I'm already big enough.
You know how insufferable she'll be?
Well, I look at it this way. She'll have Hal the rubber feet. And then John and you can go ahead and just make all the 3 o'clock in the morning Taco Bell runs.
There you go. I say why not? I mean, as you know, Hal Sparks resurrected my dead eggs in time for Easter. And so just in time for me to make a gaby with you, with a little spawn of Satan from Madison.
That would be so fabulous. Not that, but you won't have dogs drooling on you anymore. You'll have a baby.
All right. The gaby. Okay. Do they have a Gaby Gap yet? Because I don't know where you shop for the Gabies.
They do have Baby Gap.
You asked once whether they have, you know, specifically for Gabies.
Right.
For babies of gay couples.
Right.
Do they have a Gaby Gap? Yeah. Where you get, like, you know, Gaby assless chaps or...
Whatever.
Harnesses.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What?
All right,
I have no idea.
And I got one love letter I have to read that made me cry. Lots of great letters that made me laugh. This one from Wisconsin that made me cry a little bit. Jan, thanks from Wisconsin. Dear Steph, thank you so much for not only starting your sexy liberal tour in Madison, but personally for cheering me up. You have no idea how you and your show touched me. You see, I too am a shut-in, LOL. The fact is, see, not so LOL for me.
No. Uh-uh.
Kind of sad in my case.
Well, yeah.
The show was such a boost. Being disabled and a widow, I don't get out much. In fact, on Saturday afternoon, I made the decision to drive from Milwaukee to Madison.
Aww.
She drove all the way for us. I was a working professional till last year, psychotherapist. Now I'm a permanent disability. I will never forget how you demonstrated your teabagging with Hal. LOL. She also, that cheered her up.
teabag and we'll do that to someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hal and I are good at it. You were loose in a funny, silly way. Your boy toys were delicious and so funny. They are delicious. I said, you know God's a woman. She made men that pretty.
Well.
It's just not right.
Yeah.
Good luck bringing joy and fun to the rest of the country. You are just too loving to be alone. Your daddy is looking over you still. Oh, God.
Guaranteed way of making you cry is to mention your dad.
And the fact that I'm a single loser.
Well, that too. Well, if your dad is watching over you so much,
why can't he give me a girlfriend?
Yes.
What's up, daddy? All right. Maybe he's not that happy with me. Maybe he actually would be a Republican still today. All right. Joanna writes, hi, Steph. Albuquerque would love to host you and the other sexy liberals. It's already hot here, and we can handle the heat generated on stage by Mama and her boy, too. I don't know if you can handle the heat. We crossed the streams a couple of times on Saturday.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. It was awful.
Then it was dogs and cats living together.
Yeah. This one I loved real quick. It was this O'Neill in Casper, Wyoming. This is some listener comedy.
Okay.
Reasons for bringing the sexy liberal tour to Casper, Wyoming.
Oh.
Not sure that's going to happen. Dear Steph, Hal, and John, like most national tours, it may not have occurred to you why you should bring the sexy liberal tour to Casper, Wyoming. Please let me enumerate. Number one, me and the other liberal here promise to buy a ticket as soon as they go on sale. Number two, since it's just me and the other liberal here in Wyoming, we could do the show in our living room, which will guarantee the fastest-selling, sold-out show of the tour. This will also mean there will be no Cheney family hecklers in the audience.
Okay.
Number three, since I can dim the floor lamp myself, you can give the other three tour buses full of technical, managerial support and personal assistance the day off. Number four, besides a beautiful view of Casper Mountain from my living room, you can also see a liquor store across the street.
Ooh.
Neil in Casper, Wyoming. P.S. Can I be the official hot air balloonist of the Stephanie Miller?
Oh, nice.
Sure. All right.
You know what, though? If we do get a Denver date, Casper isn't too far from Denver. So I
don't know
that
I'd go up in a hot air balloon in Wyoming because Dick Cheney might, you know.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Spots the sexy liberals. Woo, little bird shot. Okay.
Surprised he hasn't shot the only two liberals in Wyoming already.
We're already getting unbelievable, like, threats. And I mean, it's unbelievable. Somebody hacked our Twitter page and disabled it the first day it was up. Now we're back up in the...
Conservatives are scared.
Yes. $10,000 someone tried to bribe our booker to stop booking this tour before he started booking it.
Yep.
It's really unbelievable.
It's the tour that conservatives don't want you to see.
Teehee. Denise in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hello, Denise.
Hi. I was in Madison. Just got back last night. I was behind the kind of slightly drunk lesbian in the first row.
Oh, awesome. There was just one.
Well, there was several, but oh my God, you guys were so great.
Aww,
and I was so like covering my eyes half the time because it was so shocking.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Well, that's the, you know, when you have no FCC restrictions, that's what happens.
Right, exactly. I was telling the people on Ustream, I caught ping pong balls in my mouth and everything.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we promised you, we warned you about the live sex acts, but anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was awesome. And then I was just going to say I went yesterday to that dog store right next door, the shop.
Bad dog Frida. Oh, my dogs love the treats from there.
She gave you some stuff, and she was, like, so excited. Oh, she said, I heard they mentioned me on the show, and you're here from Minneapolis. And I was like, yes.
Oh, no. Listen, Denise, I am still alive thanks to Bad Dog Frida, because when I come home, my dogs, Max and Fred, who weigh roughly 1,000 pounds apiece, they will kill me if I don't come home. So I literally, like, I had the treats already. I was like, Mommy, sorry.
Yeah.
Mommy, sorry. Mommy, sorry.
And they better not be airport presents. They better be good.
Yeah, no, they were really good. Oh, my God. I had to give him about 7 just to save my life. I was just covered in dog spit and hair. I was like, I'm sorry.
Well,
I won't leave again.
That's a Tuesday for you.
Yeah, and then I lied to them because I am leaving again.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bad Dog Frida, you better ship me FedEx Mama some more lifesavers. All right.
Well,
are you
coming to Minneapolis, too, so I'm so excited.
Woo! Yeah, because you can see it's going to be all different in every city. It'll be more local stuff and more topical, whatever's happening that week. So, yes, we'll see you again. Yeah. Love you. Love
all
you,
right,
Denise.
Thanks. Love you, too.
Thank you, honey. Okay. Woo-hoo! All right. God, we have a lot of great stuff on the show today. Very exciting. Scott Keyes, who did the Paul Ryan video, coming up next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Ooh, we have $50 gift certificates to Sherry's Berries for the best calls this morning. Yay. Just in time for Mommy's Day. Yay. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning. How was your trip?
You know, you've been on the road with me. You know, I'm slutty normally, but on the road, you know.
She got teabagged by Hal Sparks.
It was a public service. You know, you had to show me when it first came off what it is exactly.
That was before we had Ustream cameras here in the
studio.
Yes. Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Jim and I do our filthy acts in privacy normally. But
it was
Hal and I were. Yeah.
No.
Jim's always happy to help. All right. Jesse in Iowa was there, our frequent emailer. He sent some pictures we put up. Are they up at StephanieMiller.com?
The picture of you and Jesse is up at StephanieMiller.com.
Right.
The rest of them are up on the Facebook page.
Facebook.com/sexyliberal. Sure. That's our page. All right. Hi, Mom. A great show tonight, if I may. That's my get my bucket list out here. See Rome, check. See Venice, check. Cubs game at Wrigley Field, check. Iowa Hawkeyes game at Kinnick Stadium, check. And now, Mom Alive, get my picture taken with her, check. I came below the Iowa Hawkeyes, you see, but still.
Well, who wouldn't?
On the bucket list. That's fine. Mark, Steph, it would be great if you came to Detroit. I hope Roland is not bribed before a Detroit show is booked. Love the show, been a podcast subscriber. Yeah, our tour director was bribed to stop booking this show.
Yeah.
Jim, right-wingers are going insane.
I know.
Plus, they don't even get that the name of the show. It's a joke, you morons. But liberals are sexier. Their ideas aren't attractive in any way. Oh, they're just beside themselves.
Yeah.
Because all their candidates are turning out to be asshats.
Yes, because they're losing on every issue in every poll. They're getting booed at town halls.
Oh,
yes.
Well, I have a serious plan. Serious.
Yes.
You have a right-wing troll on your Facebook page, by the way.
Awesome. Hi.
His name is Jackson. And he's posting things like, please stay away from Asheville, North Carolina. That's all we need here. Another freak show entering town.
Guess what? Mama's coming to North Carolina, everybody. And every living being from Asheville is driving over. I will come get you. That's right. It is. This just in. Hang on.
All right.
No, hang on. Here we go. I wasn't going to get to that, but I will. The new announcement today, Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina.
Yep.
Saturday, June 4th, 8 p.m., one show only. Mama's not doing two shows anymore. That's it. Listen, I'm too old for this crap in the first place. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. We're at the Durham Performing Arts Center. We aren't going to be able to get to Asheville on this leg, so you got to come on out, Asheville, and Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill, all y'alls. Talking to you. All right. And then the next show up, which we're very, very excited about, Syracuse. Here we come, Saturday, May 14th.
Warning, the Department of Liberal Comedy has just issued a statement raising the laugh alert level for Syracuse, New York to Code Orange.
John Boehner, not a color that appears in the natural world.
In an effort to protect the public from the side effects of John Boehner's curious orange hue.
You mean I'm going to stay this color?
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show has been dispatched to Syracuse, New York. Home of the real Orange Men.
When are we going to stand up and take them on?
On Saturday, May 14th, at the On Center Krause Heinz Theater. Join Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and Stephanie Miller for an evening of perfect progressive brilliance and non-stop laughter.
That's at the top of our list.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the On Center Krause Heinz Theater in Syracuse. May 14th. It's the only antidote to John Boehner's orange. For the orange.
Yeah, baby.
So how close is Syracuse to Ithaca? Have we decided how close it is?
It's only about
45 minutes.
It's about 45 miles.
We have to talk like that if you're in Syracuse?
Yes.
You
have to say, please, I am from Ithaca. And I'll be like, some tickets. All right, come on, everybody. Yeah, but we're going to be lots of fracking jokes. By the way, it is big time fight for marriage equality right now. We're getting together with a group that is behind Marriage Equality in New York, which is really gaining steam. So we're very excited about Saturday, May 14th. Ticketmaster.com or go right to the theater if you want to avoid those Ticketmaster fees, which we're not that happy about.
Yeah, they can be a little steep.
Because we're really trying to price it, you know.
We're going to charge you $1 million.
Yes, go to the Krause Heinz Theater if you can buy your tickets. All right. Say it again.
Scott Kies.
Kies. I pronounced his name wrong, and I apologize. He is from Think Progress and the videotaper of the infamous Paul Ryan booing town hall. He joins us now. Hey, Scott. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Stephanie. Appreciate it.
Listen, we were in Madison Saturday night. We could hear the booing from there. I may not be able to see Russia from my house, but you can hear Paul Ryan getting booed from almost anywhere.
You must have heard it multiple times, too, because, there was the one video that was infamous, but he was catching a lot of flack in many different town halls.
Yeah, well, this one you caught was in Milton, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and Jim and I were, loving it because we're saying it's so amazing how the mainstream media sort of pronounces something, serious and courageous and bold, and then, you could tell he wasn't expecting this, right?
Right, I mean, first of all, I would agree with you completely that the fact that a plan that just, kicks the people in the teeth who have the least representation in Congress and, the poor and the people who have the least access in general, to call that a courageous plan is just laughable. But, then the fact that Paul Ryan can take this plan, which is supposedly so courageous and groundbreaking, and take it to his constituents, if he can't even convince his constituents that this is a good plan.
Scott,
I don't know how he expects to convince the nation.
Why did you go? Did you anticipate this? Because, like I say, it's interesting that, then the polls came out and showed, obviously, the vast majority of Americans are against Paul Ryan's plan, don't think we should cut Medicare, think we should tax the rich. But did you go anticipating this?
Well, no, I've been on this beat for a while covering, town halls and tea parties. And, I go to try to cover and shine a little bit more light on these types of things that a lot of folks aren't necessarily seeing in their day-to-day. And, certainly credit where credit's due to Paul Ryan for holding these town halls, because a lot of congressmen avoid them, fearing backlash from their constituents.
Yeah. Once they find out what they're really about.
Yeah.
Right. That having been said, could really see the level of anger among his voters on this plan.
Well, and these people are not armies of Dick, as we call them. Dick armies paid, people to disrupt meetings. You can tell this is real. This guy that you recorded described himself as a lifelong conservative, right? And he made some great points. Tell us about the exchange.
Sure, yeah. So one of Paul Ryan's constituents got up and explained, like you, Congressman Ryan, I'm a lifelong conservative, but as we saw right before the Great Depression, as we saw right before this Great Recession, when income inequality just shoots through the roof like it is now, that portends a lot of negative economic effects in our society. And so I just want to know why you're continuing to push for these tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans. And, Congressman Ryan, they basically didn't have an answer for me. He's like, we don't really tax the rich
yes.
that much.
Yeah, in his defense, he did actually say humana, humana, humana. yeah, but I love this guy. Again, makes the point we keep making all the time about, how far to the right, or who are they representing, if you look at the polls, these Paul Ryans. This guy said, what did he say? He said, let's see. He noted there's nothing wrong with taxing the top because it does not trickle down. Ryan argued, we do tax the top, and this is where the booze came in, because people know that's bull, right?
Exactly. The modern Republican Party has moved so far to the right that even lifelong conservatives, like this right. constituent, it's not a party that they, find themselves well within the mainstream of anymore.
I'm watching your video, Scott, and then I'm reading the transcript, and I'm going, oh, no, the constituent, that guy should be the congressman. Here he is, lifelong conservative. Here's what he said. He said, the middle class is disappearing right now. During this time of prosperity, the top 1% was taking about 10% of the total annual income. Yet today we are fighting to not let the tax breaks for the wealthy expire, and we're fighting to not raise the Social Security cap from $87,000. I think we're wrong.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting. I'm sure you've heard all this hubbub about GE, avoiding paying any
right.
federal taxes,
yeah.
any federal income tax. At one point in his town hall, Congressman Ryan, said, GE hasn't paid any income tax, and they made, $4 or $5 billion in profit last year. But the constituents in this town hall flat out corrected him. They said, no, it's $14.2 billion in profits that GE's been making and not been paying a dime in federal income tax. So, again, I think it shows his constituents are really well informed about these
right.
issues in Washington, and Congressman Ryan's a little bit out of touch on them.
Well, right. You look at the Washington Post ABC News poll. 72% of Americans want Congress to raise taxes on wealthy Americans. I mean, I think people are getting the math at this point that the Bush tax cuts played a major role in this deficit. You know, and
sure.
and to try to say we got to continue those as justification for abolishing Medicare or getting rid of the social safety net, people are like, no, that's, I mean, so, I, you know, because I was thinking that, you know, his argument, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, is basically the same Republican argument, like, we need to make things friendly for corporations, and I get it that that's where the jobs are, the corporate, I don't want to hurt corporations, Scott, I mean, I was trying to get my head around this morning, and I thought, but the problem is people get it when you pay zero, and then on top of it, we're giving them subsidies in the cases of, like, oil companies, I mean, and they're making these obscene profits, I mean, people aren't stupid. Don't you think that's the crux of this?
Right. And, you know, the money has to come from somewhere. And when it's not, when corporations are skirting their federal taxes, it's you and I, you know, the middle class taxpayers right. who are ending up having to foot the bill. You know, this constituent had it exactly correct that it trickle down economics just doesn't work.
Right. Right. And that's a guy that believed it when Reagan told him that. You know? I mean. Yeah, I mean, that's what I've had this argument with people in my family. I'm like, every credible economist has said trickle-down doesn't work. It's like, I get that you thought it was going to, but it didn't.
You know, between 1980 and 2005, 80% of the growth in wealth went to just the top 1% of Americans. You know, the rest of 99% just aren't seeing any real
right.
growth in their incomes.
Yes.
I think the facts really speak for themselves.
That's why Reagan's budget director said, you know, these tax cuts.
There's nothing hypothetical
right. I mean,
about it.
Listen,
we've had 30 years.
To Reagan's budget director over the past few months, you'd think yeah. he was a raving liberal.
Yeah, exactly.
How much he's criticizing the modern GOP. It's incredible.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for your great work on that. I really just, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yep. Thinkprogress.org, you can see it
yeah.
there.
But in radio, we're about a thousand words, because we got time to go. All right.
Thanks so much for having
Scott,
me,
thank
you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You too, sir. There he goes.
It's just so amazing that these Republic clowns are just realizing that Republicans are in unions, too, and rely on
yes.
Medicare and Social
right.
Security.
Yeah.
And say, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah,
I just read that letter last week from a Republican LIUNA member who's like, you know, we cannot afford any more Republicans
right.
in office. I mean, I'm telling you. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
It's not my name. It's not my name.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yes. Hello. Oh, Keith.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Until his current TV show starts, I'll just need that to get me through the night.
Who now? Keith who?
Mm. Oh, there.
I was saying in Madison, Jim, that as we know, I find the Cialis commercials very confusing. But my porn is Lawrence O'Donnell, a Bullets promo, as you know.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's my, yeah, it's my...
I blame the law
yeah,
for
yeah,
the next
yeah,
10.
Yeah, play the orgasm. This is me. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Do it. Go ahead. Do it. Yeah.
I blame the shooter for the first... How many was it?
Oh, God.
10 bullets. Just, doesn't matter.
Oh,
I blame the law for the next 10.
Oh. Oh.
Yes. Oh, yes. And then I just picture us in side-by-side bathtubs.
Mm. You'd be making that kind of noise mm-hmm. you're in side-by-side bathtubs? Wow, you're easy.
No, that's the afterwards.
Oh, okay.
That's the afterglow.
I see.
So you're not
once,
a cuddler.
Once the acid wears off.
You're not yeah. a cuddler afterwards.
I was also saying that the thing I find even the most realistic about the Cialis commercials, Jim, is a husband's offering to do chores.
Yes.
Oh, please. I haven't even been with a man in a long time, and I know that's bull.
Yeah, I was about ready to say, you've never had a
please.
Husband. How do you know?
Oh, please, they don't do that. Guys, if you hold my laundry basket while I fold clothes, I'll you. I mean, seriously.
Really?
That's yeah. all it takes?
Bring a laundry basket, Jim.
Okay.
See what happens tomorrow. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, kids. Aren't they? Won't they be proud?
Yeah.
GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. All right. Let's go to Deidre in Annapolis. Hey, Deidre.
Hi.
Hi. Australia.
I'm the Deirdre of Move Closer, Get Out of the Room when Lawrence O'Donnell is on.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, my God. You have no idea.
I'm literally so in high school.
I mean, you get it and you're not straight. Imagine what we feel like.
I know it. I talk to my straight friend, Trish, and we're like, okay, I got to go now. He's on. And then we call each other when the commercials are back on.
My husband doesn't even come near the room.
All right.
I'm going to use it as a pickup line now.
Tell you, yesterday, the New York Times Sunday Magazine had a picture on the front page of President Obama when he was six with his mother. It is the dearest picture.
Aww.
And he's in a
costume. Yeah.
And so I had sent it to my kids saying, you have to see this picture. And one of my sons mailed back, okay, how long before the GOP has him as a Somalian pirate?
Yes, I saw that. I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. He's actually was a Somalian pirate. He was born in Somalia.
Alleged mother.
Yeah, exactly. Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes.
Thank you for the awesome show on Saturday.
Oh, you drove down from Minneapolis?
Absolutely. Aww. And my sister joined me from Chicago.
Oh, my God.
And we'll see you again in Minneapolis. I think maybe those of us who are traveling should just become like your deadheads.
I think this is becoming like Grateful Dead already. We'll just meet in every city.
Only without the dropping acid in the parking lot.
No acid and no tie-dye.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gene.
There might have been some people in the audience who did drop some acid.
Maybe. Who can say?
Yeah.
Minneapolis
or Cialis,
Saturday.
Or it should be the same thing, apparently, according to the commercials.
Minneapolis Saturday, June 18th, because I got some things to do in a Twin Cities.
Yes, you
get
do.
A ticket now, or I just think I'm gonna buy.
I'm in town here.
Jazz in Madison, where were you Saturday night? You know, people were literally asking for you.
No, they were not.
Yes, they were. The program director's like, what happened to Jazz? Is she okay? She never calls anymore. I'm like, yes, she does. She calls all the time.
I do call all the time, and I had to call in this morning. I did miss the show, and I truly, truly apologize.
Oh, you bastard person.
I know.
Whatever.
However, I did a few years back when we did meet for the first time at the Barrymore Theater, I had asked you a question, and I wasn't worthy then, so I have to re-ask it. Now,
okay, all right.
I own my own business.
Uh-huh.
I own two Harley Davidsons. I have a huge dog that would love yours. Mama, come on, you got to marry me now. We can both just stop this lonely solitude of lesbianism everywhere. We need to get married, sweetie.
Oh, boy.
You promised me you would marry me once before. And
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Jazz, you know I'm drunk every time I'm in Madison.
I remember that.
I say that to everybody.
I'm down on one knee in a Home Depot parking lot asking you,
baby. You need to get married on a softball diamond somewhere.
wearing Home Depot orange. Yeah. All our bridesmaids will have Home Depot orange. Oh, honey. You know what? I'm going to say yes, you can have the Sherry's Berries gift certificate for $50. That's...
Almost the same thing.
Trust me, it's sweeter.
Yeah.
Go to fairies.com, click on the microphone, type in Stephanie. We're going to give Jazz that $50 gift certificate. We got two every day.
Yep.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What are you thinking in that sick mind of yours?
34 minutes to the hour. Lisa in Madison was there. She says it wasn't too blue Saturday night, as my mother
Not
would
according
say.
To Twitter.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Hey, I was there Saturday, and I met you along with a zillion other people.
Aw. I remember
I
you.
I called in. Yeah, exactly. Hey, I called in and broke my commitment to a charity to be silent today. Because I wanted to talk to you so much.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, Chris says all across Twitter, they're saying it was very blue. They were surprised at the number of F-bombs.
I disagree. I'm a mom of a three, and I wasn't even kind of offended.
Well, we got to try harder.
I'm worried about that.
We got to try harder. Thanks for coming, Lise.
All right. It might be because I was hoping John Fugelsang would be closer to the blue parts.
Yeah, well, you know, who doesn't? Did you see he did the first show barefoot like Jesus?
He did the second show, too.
Did he barefoot? Yeah, he looked like the ecclesiastical mook dressed as Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
And didn't he have a shirt on that says Jesus loves hip hop?
Yes.
Yeah, that's funny. I like that.
Yes, once we are unrestrained, Jim knows this, when we're unrestrained by the FCC, we go a little crazy.
A little blue.
Yeah, as my mother would say, why can't you be more like that nice Rita Rudner? She doesn't work blue.
I love that line.
Steffi, you're so blue.
Has your mom ever sat in an audience?
Oh, dear God. She's 88. It would kill her. I can't do that to
her. She has never seen you perform?
Yes, sure. Okay. It's been years. I don't think she's hardy enough for that now.
Well, no, not now, but...
At the high school talent show.
Yeah. Yeah, she's my skin.
When you did Torn Between Two Lovers.
Yes. All right.
That's so blue.
Oh, dear.
Steffi.
Oh, dear.
You know what that means. I'm working blue.
Eddie in Milwaukee. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, Steffi. How are you?
Good, honey.
I just wanted to say thank you for the kiss. I was right up in the front row, first show.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, and people kiss. People in the front row got some tongue. Yeah.
And then my wife got a little jealous. So then thank you for jumping down and dancing with her. That
yes.
really made her. So that was a great time.
I was liquored up, as you can imagine, beyond
well,
all.
Yeah, it showed. But, hey,
yeah.
I just wanted to tell everybody who's thinking about getting tickets, there's a lot of benefits beyond the great show that Steffi does. It was so much fun meeting people from all over the Midwest who are thinking like you do. And, the benefits are far beyond
the great show. You know, so. Eddie, it's funny you say that because I think you're absolutely right. It's become like this sort of movement, which we didn't expect. And Hal Sparks did a great joke about that, right? He said people just bought a ticket to get away from those people.
Yeah.
So we're in here with these people because everyone else out there is crazy. Yeah.
It was very therapeutic to just stand up and look at the mob of people that all are thinking the same way. So it was a great
right. Well, because
overall,
when you look, oh, you're welcome, honey. But you look at this Republican field, and that's part of it. You go, oh my God, are we? Is it us? Are we crazy? No, they're crazy.
No,
they
are.
No, it's. I said they're. Yeah. It's not us. It's them. Okay. Somebody just sent me a picture of Donald Trump's hair in the wind.
Oh, no.
Like he's not crazy enough, but you're
hair in the wind.
That guy? Would we really? Seriously? Somebody showed me an electoral map about how Trump could cover the USA, and there's just hair swept all around. There's red and blue, and then just hair. Just a comb over.
That's what Nell was talking about. It was
hair
talking
in the wind.
About Donald Trump's coif.
Hair in the wind.
Hair in the wind.
Kelly, appropriately in Beaver Dam, here on the Steffi Miller Show.
Good morning.
Yes.
Unbeknownst to you, on Saturday night, the stars were aligned, and you were supposed to meet your soulmate, your new girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And she had VIP tickets to the late show.
Uh-huh.
She thought the meet and greet was after the show.
Oh,
it was
dear.
Before. So
that's...
there she...
Well, that's kind of the story of my love life. I thought the Minneapolis show was tonight. Oh!
I want to kick this jazz girl to the curb because you were meant to be with my friend Chandra. She is she's beautiful. She works for the Humane Society. She has even taken off her clothes to raise money for
Humane
Society.
Hello. Now you got Jim's attention. So, okay. All right.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Billy. I appreciate
it. Is there evidence of this that one could find online, perhaps?
Squeezy's going to have to officiate the wedding, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Come on down, girls.
You take this woman. No, forget it. I'm taking her.
After I take her?
Oh, maybe this tour will help you find a nice girl and settle down.
Shush!
What?
Talking about that. Like, what? I don't look like a big enough loser already. All right. But speaking of which, as you know, we go to some of the... we got some great money for the folks of UnitedWisconsin.com behind the recalls and... Wisconsin, and we are hooking up with a marriage equality group in New York for the. This is big time in New York now for the Syracuse show. What is that? Saturday, May 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, here it is. Uh-huh. Lady Gaga on stage in Long Island this week, last weekend. Actors Kevin Bacon, Kira Sedgwick. I share a dog walker with them.
Yes,
from
that's
my
right.
foray to New York.
Your unfortunate trip. Your
yes, my sojourn. My disastrous trip.
Yeah.
Yes. I. They have a black lab that can run straight up a tree.
Wow. That's weird.
I was in Central Park. I saw it. Julie, I was chatting with Kira Sedgwick. I'm like, that is weird. She's like, yeah, that's our dog. And Julianne Moore in video, Governor Andrew Cuomo in Albany are headlining New York's growing push to legalize gay marriage. Can you take your organ out, please?
Oh, yes.
A fight that may already be won thanks to shifting voter sentiment and a concerted discipline campaign. New York is huge, as you know, in this fight.
Huge.
As Donald Trump says. New Yorkers opposed to gay marriage are being swamped by younger people who support it, while polls seem to show a new tactic by advocates is working in the suburbs and upstate, where we'll be on May 14th, the more conservative region where the issue will be won or lost. Five states, if you're keeping track, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut. Where's Howard Dean? Please, thank you. New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, District of Columbia. Have all approved gay marriage laws. New York has always been a goal of advocates because its size, high profile, and unparalleled media presence. A human rights campaign advocate said a win in New York will provide significant momentum for the movement nationally and, quite frankly, internationally. Lady Gaga recently told fans at her Buffalo concert to contact state lawmakers and urge them to pass the gay marriage bill. The organized effort under Cuomo, a turnaround from the surprising 2009 defeat. So, yay for Governor Cuomo! Yeah, I mentioned Lady Gaga Saturday because that's what, Jim, you and I have talked about this. The Republicans fighting us on every step going, you know, not while we're at war. We can't overturn. Don't ask, don't tell. Like people will,
right.
Soldiers will pick in the middle of a firefight to start acting really gay. To start blasting Lady Gaga and just, you know, take out a glow stick instead of a rifle and just, you know. Baby, I was born this way. Whoop! Yeah.
Okay. But that would make the enemy run. Just that.
That romance?
That would listen, it would confuse them enough for us to shoot them.
I said end them! Make it stop!
Stephanie Miller.
All right. I love this story. In the New York Times, advocates for gay marriage learned the power of personal persuasion over in-your-face parades long ago. They're new tactics. I love this. Iris Blumenthal.
And she's good.
He has a gay son. It's everyday Americans like Iris Blumenthal. 68 years old.
It's a guy?
Yes.
Iris?
Oh, no, that's... I'm sorry, that's a woman.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There's another guy before that I was going to quote.
Okay.
Name's kind of redundant. Blumenthal means Flower Valley. Iris Flower Valley.
Iris Flower Valley.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We want to dance at our son's wedding. I would love it if these senators were in my shoes. What if their child came out as gay and said they wanted to get married? So, you know, they're just personalizing this, which is what it's all about. Right? It's about looking in your loved one's face and saying, I love you, but I don't think you deserve the same rights that I have.
Yep.
And more people are not able to do that. And yay. Support for gay marriage has been rising at 1-2% a year nationally as opposition has declined by the same amount. Even white Catholics, this is huge. I'm a Catholic girl from Buffalo.
Yes.
Up the transit from Cheektowaga, Lackawanna, and Tanawanda in Lackport. Another major element of New York suburban and upstate vote reported rising acceptance in Pew and Gallup polls in New York, the Siena College poll showed support at 58%. Yikes. I think the point you cross 60% and approach 2-to-1 levels of support, the opposition loses its critical mass, said another advocate there. The I love this. There's always, they have to quote one conservative asshat in every story. So in the New York Times, Michael Wong, who I'm guessing is not. He's insecure. That's what I'm saying. It's probably tiny.
No. He's so Wong.
He's not right. Everything. He's Wong.
He's Long.
He's Wong about everything.
Conservative Party Chairman Michael Long.
Oh, Long.
Long.
Oh.
What's wrong with you? You said Wong. No, I said Long.
No, you said Wong.
I said I'm guessing he's not.
You said Wong.
Because
said Wong.
He's too insecure about his sexuality. I bet he's hung like a field mouse.
You said Wong. Chat room agrees.
Yes.
Oh, screw you, chat room. You're always on the mook side. He said, how irritating is this? He says, this is nothing but a political issue. No, it's not. It's a human rights and a civil rights issue. He said, this is nothing but a political issue. He said, I love this. Ready? Gays are part of a, quote, very well-heeled community that can achieve its rights under existing laws through courts and contracts.
I see. So they have to sue for their rights.
Yeah. Great. Oh, that's America. So what if you happen to be a gay without a lot of money?
Yeah.
And you can't afford to hire a lawyer and get, you know, 16 other rights and contracts that straight people automatically get. Oh, what a loser. Gay people are all rich. They don't make it. All right. I'm changing his name. What's his name? I'm changing his name right now to Chairman Michael Short. It's short. Little teeny tiny. It gets cold in upstate New York in the winter, so I'm sure there's
significant shrinkage.
Thanks. You got to that first. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's the other big issue, obviously, in upstate New York and elsewhere, is fracking.
Oof.
And
it's horrible.
Guess who doesn't think this causes any trouble of any kind? Inhofe. James Inhofe can always be counted on. Republican James Inhofe.
Perfect family tree.
Uh-huh. Inhofe claims fracking has never contaminated water supply one day after spill contaminates stream.
Watch Gasland. And
Oh, we're having Peter Gallagher on who narrated Gas Hole.
Yes.
Don't be nervous. I've said it right now three times. You're worried because when we had Elaine Boozler on, you thought I was going to say clocksucker wrong.
Yes.
Facebook is a clocksucker. But I didn't. Gas Hole. That's the name of the movie that Peter Gallagher
narrated. Yeah.
Okay. Senator James Inhofe is perhaps Congress's most reliable defender of dirty energy and evangelizer against the hoax of global warming. He took his message to Fox. Oh, Brian Kilmeade's radio show. Well, that's where you go. That's where all the big thinkers go.
I don't think that's carried anywhere, honestly.
Yeah, good. So the good news is no one heard it.
Yeah.
It's not even carried on anyone's fillings anymore because no one has metal fillings.
He extolled the virtues of hydraulic fracturing, a method of extracting natural gas known as fracking. Fracking is a relatively new and untested technique.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Why test that?
If you don't mind your sink water catching fire.
Yeah. Yeah, as some of the people in Syracuse and Ithaca. Maybe we should do that. That'll be the new, we'll do that on stage. When we're doing some live sex act, we'll light some tap water on fire. Inhofe insisted there's nothing to worry about with fracking, as he claimed it has never poisoned anyone, nor ever contaminated groundwater.
Wow.
He said there's never been one case, documented case, of groundwater contamination in the history of thousands and thousands of hydraulic fracks. Kilmeade said, Senator, has it ever poisoned anybody? Inhofe, it's never poisoned anyone.
He needs to be tied down like Malcolm McDowell in A Clockwork Orange with the clamps on his eyeball.
Be made to
watch Gasland or Gas Hole, whichever, or both. Double feature. Yeah.
Yes.
No, there's no proof. There's no... turn it off! Turn it off! I've seen the light!
He needs to be, you know what? He needs to be tethered to a chair in Syracuse and forced to watch the Sexy Liberal Show. All surrounded by other liberals. All right, I'll tell you the rest of the story. It's unbelievable as we continue 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Wow, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, moments from Mondays with McClure, again, also actor Peter Gallagher, who narrated Gas Hole.
That's right.
I just keep saying it. Just as, you know, because of the law of averages, I'm going
to
screw it up.
It's a great movie about the damage that the oil companies are doing to the United States.
Yes. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Dave in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama. I like the direction you're going with this Michael Long thing. Yes. I think Michael Short's good, but I want to take it one step further and call him Michael Innie.
Maybe it's an Innie, like a belly button, only... Only his. Okay. Mm. All right.
That gave me a mental picture I really did not need.
What the frack? All right. I was finishing this Senator Inhofe because he's just. So he goes on Brian Kilmeade's little radio show and says fracking has never contaminated water supply. Hmm. Ever. It's never poisoned anybody.
Except for all the
nothing
times
more to
it,
see
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. A blowout at Pennsylvania. I think this was just last week. A blowout at a Pennsylvania natural gas well engaged in fracking spilled thousands of gallons of toxic chemical-laced water, contaminating a stream and forcing the evacuation of seven families who live nearby as crews struggled to stop the gusher. A recent New York Times investigation confirmed waste from fracking has contaminated groundwater and even drinking water with toxic and radioactive chemicals.
Great.
Yeah, here's a little tip. Your tap water should not be able to burst into flames if you put a match to it. That's just, you know.
A thing.
Yeah, I wasn't even good at science class, as you know. I made Paul DeFonso dissect the pregnant frog, but I'm just saying it's not technically supposed to happen. Okay. for those of you that smoke in the shower, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
Because some smokers are committed. Okay, large amounts of radioactive material have been found in water supplies near fracking sites. Many Pennsylvania have gotten sick. The tap water in homes near fracking sites, as we mentioned, have caught on fire. A home in Cleveland blew up. Yeah, that's not, that's probably,
coincidence.
That's probably nothing. Yeah.
Isn't,
happens all the time.
Isn't that where the river caught on fire in Cleveland, too? The Cuyahoga River?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's worth noting, and I'm sure completely coincidentally, Jim, that the oil and gas industry has been Inhofe's top contributors over his entire political career.
Coincidence.
His single largest campaign donor? Coke industry!
Of
He's
course.
Another Coke sucker. Why? Another Coke whore is amongst us. All right. The president has been out talking about gas prices, by the by.
Like clockwork, you see politicians racing to the cameras, waving three-point plans for $2 gas. The truth is, there is no silver bullet that can bring down gas prices right away.
Yeah, he actually, I thought he made some good points. He said that this is a Saturday address. Mm-hmm. He said that instead of subsidizing yesterday's energy sources, we need to invest in tomorrow's. He said we will, Eric Holder then immediately said, we will be vigilant in monitoring the oil and gas markets for any wrongdoing so that consumers can be confident they're not paying higher prices as a result of illegal activity. He vowed to take swift action against those who illegally contribute to gas price gouging and manipulation. Obama argued another important short-term step is to immediately stop oil and gas companies receiving $4 billion in taxpayer subsidies. He said they're making record profits and you're paying near record prices at the pump. I have never, for the life of me, understood these subsidies. I mean, obscenely profitable do these companies have to be?
Mm.
That's the thing. It's like they always accuse us of trying to hurt corporations and that's where the jobs come from. And I get it if you work for ExxonMobil, but really? Do they need to make that kind of profit?
I have a feeling it might be blackmail by the oil companies to keep them from moving out of the country.
Well, somebody wrote a great piece too about the fact that, you know, they always cast this as, oh, well, there's trouble in Libya and the Japan, the earthquake, and that's why. It's like that has nothing to do with gas prices.
Speculation.
That's
mm-hmm.
how they convince people that gas prices have to go up.
Right.
That's not why they're going up.
Right.
You know.
It's complete speculation on Wall Street in a completely unregulated market.
Yeah.
Of course, President Kennedy was the last guy to really take on the oil companies by stopping the oil depletion allowance, which is a totally unneeded tax break. But look what happened to him.
Oh, God. Here comes the drill, baby drill crowd. Republican Tim Griffin of Arkansas.
We can't talk about energy independence and then say, but you can't drill here and you can't drill there.
You can't drill there. We got drill, baby drill. Drill everywhere.
Now there are smart people with southern accents, too.
Yes.
It's not the southern accent. It was the stupidity of what he was saying that was withdrew us to. Troy Green from AAA.
You're talking about gasoline demand down about 2% at this point in the year compared to last year. And we have ample supplies of oil in the United States, even though gasoline supplies are down a little bit right now. But the primary driver has not been supply and demand.
What? That's crazy.
What? Yeah, it really is amazing how just like clockwork. There's, it's world events that are causing the blah, blah, blah.
Look, there's another war.
Blah, 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 blah. Hmm. What? Oh, I'm just sorry. I was just, this is how it sounds to me, because it always sounds the same, as much as Rush Limbaugh sounds the same to me every day.
My friends.
Thank you. It just makes me happy. I
wonder if that's how it sounds when he's with a Dominican boy, allegedly.
Oh, come on.
What?
Chris Louise, the boy.
All right.
Okay. All right. So we have lots more to get to. There's a John McCain, Grampy McSame.
He was in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking with the rebels.
Yeah. He's same plan. Same thing from him every time, too. Die, die, kill, kill, bomb more, bomb, 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 kill. Die. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Edie McClurg joins us for Mondays with McClurg. Actor Peter Gallagher, who narrated Gas Hole, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I'm
minutes after the hour. 1-800. Oh, I've been rode hard and put up wet.
What?
A road warrior after only one sexy liberal show. Dear God. 1-800, just running on fumes. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Thank you, Madison! We love you! Rock and roll! Yeah, wow. The right wing going crazy. They're trying to shut down this tour. They tried to bribe our tour director. It just started Saturday. We're selling out everywhere, and they're going insane. Yes.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is taking the country by storm, packing theaters across the nation. And conservatives are losing their minds.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and radio goddess Stephanie Miller are touring America. And the Republicans are so afraid of the truth that they want to shut them down.
I say, shut it down.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Don't let that happen. Bring the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to your area. Contact your favorite venue and demand it. Tell your friends, make a Facebook page, tag at Sexy Liberal on Twitter, and be sure to like Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Let it be known that we all want the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show because it's the show conservatives don't want you to see.
Come on! All right, and you can go to facebook.com/sexyliberal. Lots of pictures of all the filth and debauchery from Saturday night. Jim, you'll enjoy some of those.
Mm.
The fine American. Let's see, Tanya writes, staff, just want to say thanks to you, Hal, and John for coming to Madison, making us laugh. The Sexy Liberal Show is a well-deserved reprieve for the people of Wisconsin. It was the first time since Wanker introduced his awful budget repair bill. It felt okay and really good to laugh. I haven't laughed so hard like that in a long time. It was also a joy to be surrounded by like-minded people without a protest sign in my hand. I feel refreshed and ready for the battles ahead of us. Recount and recall. Thanks for reminding us how important laughter is during times like this. Aw, Tanya! Yay. Yeah, I think people just bought a ticket just to get away from, as Hal said, the people on the outside. So we could just be, we would have a reprieve for a while from the wankers of the world. All right. Oh, give me one more fine American. Oh, this is more a cautionary tale. Because could I have my cautionary tale music, please? Rich writes, Jim, we warned about crossing. I think you told us before we went, don't cross the sexy streams.
Mm.
Because there could be, it's like we all look busters.
Okay. Important safety tip. Thank you, Egon.
See? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rich dismissed that, and now he's, you know. Hi, Mom. I just got home from the first performance of the Sexy Liberal Tour. I had a fantastic time. I was one of the people who managed to claw his way to the mic at the end for the Q&A. The person behind me nudged me. I pointed to the mic. I looked up to the stage to see all three of you in your sexy liberal glory. It was like a sexy liberal atomic explosion. I vaporized from the force of your sexy liberal vibes, leaving my shadow burned into the Barrymore wall and found myself speechless. I remember him. Having the full force of three sexy liberals staring me down was almost more than I could stand. You joke on the air that you should never cross the sexy streams. I can attest to that. He has been vaporized, Jim, into the carpeting. Boom! To your listeners that may entertain the notion of going to see the Sexy Liberal Show, be warned, the trifecta of sexiness is the burning bush of liberalism and not a power to be trifled with. Leave your shoes at the door because you will stand on hallowed ground in the presence of Steph, Hal, and John. Okay, thank you. Well, Rich, we apologize. I'm sure you can be reconstituted in some ways. You just have to cut. You have to. It goes in the little box, right, Jim? And then they take it back to the laboratory.
Yes.
And he can be reanimated, I think.
Something like that.
All right. Yes.
It was like a vacuum. You'd suck it in.
Yes.
And then
they had a machine.
With all three of you.
Wait, you're
show.
Not here yet? Okay.
Sounds
now
like somebody's got a case of the moon booze.
Rick McClurg.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, slugs, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
Edie McClurg.
Oh my God, look, Edie McClurg is here.
What? It must be me.
You have to. You have to wait for the cheesy radio sound effect of the door opening. Why, it's the wacky neighbor. Oh!
Hi, how are you? Hi.
She just beamed hi-dee-ho, down.
Heidi ho, heidi ho. How are you doing?
Wait, you said hi too soon. The door just opened.
Oh, heidi ho.
Okay, thank you. That was better.
It is Mrs. Paula.
Yeah.
Because I use my Wisconsin accent when I was doing that show because we were in Chicago, supposedly.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was thinking about that show that you're doing on the road now.
Yeah.
It. I think it does stun people because you are shockingly handsome group of people.
Oh, that's not true.
And all on one stage at one time, people say, oh, here we are in Wisconsin, and we're all wearing our mucklucks and you just show up Southern California.
It was a room full of sexy liberals. Liberalism itself is sexy.
That is true.
It is.
Ooh.
We were laughing about the right. We were going crazy. It was a joke. We don't really think we're sexy. It's like, it's just making them disconnect. They're like,
no.
Liberalism is unattractive in every way.
Maybe you feel that way, but Hal.
Hal and John. Hal and John are. Yeah. They're, just want to eat them with a spoon.
No, they're so cute.
All right. Jesse in Iowa. I read this letter on stage. I saved it for him, but another... Give me Wedding Chapel. Here we go. Jesse in Iowa. Future wife stack. I just love this story so much. I got to share it with everybody, but I read it on stage Saturday night. Mama, I found the perfect wife for you. Because I know we've all felt like this at some point. A professor of anthropology at the University of Iowa has found herself in hot water after responding to an email sent out by a campus Republican group with the simple inflammatory message, you Republicans. The response was prompted by an email promoting Conservative Coming Out Week that was sent to the entire University of Iowa community. The email advertised a week of conservative events such as the showing of a movie to honor George W. Bush. Ellen Lewin, a professor of anthropology and gender and sexuality studies, I don't care what she looks like, I love her, said she found the email, quote, extremely disturbing and offensive because it mocked the pro-labor protests in Wisconsin and animal rights. This is a time when political passions are inflamed, and I received your unsolicited email. I just finished reading some newspaper accounts of fresh outrages committed by Republicans and government, she said in an email to the Republican group after the incident. I admit the language was inappropriate and apologize for any affront to anyone's delicate sensibilities. But, yo! I just love that story. Because sometimes, you know, you're like, no, we must calmly rebut them with our superior facts. And then you're just like...
No, because when
you're just like, you know
what? When they're saying what they're saying, it just gives you douche chills. You just really, really, really can't stand it.
No, you know how, everybody has different techniques, whether it's from those right-wing relatives or you get emails and you're like, okay, do I not respond or do I respond with my superior mastery of the issues involved? Or do I just, you know, but sometimes you do just feel like going, you. Yeah.
Well, is the sexy tour, is it going to come to Los Angeles?
Well, funny you should mention that, Evie Clark. Thank you for the
segue.
I'm sure it will. We don't have that information
all
yet.
Right.
There are sexy liberal elves in a tree somewhere working on the whole sexy liberal, you know. But
we could do it in my patio.
My dad's got a barn. No, we have lots of upcoming dates that we can't announce yet and or that aren't booked yet. There's a lot of...
I don't know.
It's
about
a lot of
anything.
Logistics, a lot of moving parts involved in this whole thing. But the schedule, as it were, Syracuse, Saturday, May 14th. Ticketmaster.com, Minneapolis Saturday, June 18th, Boston Saturday, July 16th, and the breaking news this morning, Raleigh-Durham, ladies and gentlemen, Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, Saturday, June 4th. Tickets on sale, they start on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at the Durham Performing Arts Center. You can go to Ticketmaster.com for all of those.
Is your
but you can avoid those fees if you go right to the box office.
Pardon me? Is your mom going to go to that?
You know, I'm not really certain about that.
Steffi.
I haven't figured out how to...
Work so
Steffi,
good.
Do you have to say those words?
Oh, Steffi. Why can't you invite that nice Edie McClurg? I enjoy her. She's the only part of your show I enjoy.
Well,
curses too.
Yeah, and there were things, characters I used to do on David Letterman and things like that.
Yeah.
My mother and father, you know, were watching at the time.
Oh.
I'll just say, oh, it's...
Do you really have to say things like that?
That's too far from Charlotte. You can. Raleigh-Durham's, no.
Oh, is
however, it? Each and every carbon-based life form in Asheville, North Carolina, better be there. You heard me. You heard me, Asheville. We can't get to Asheville on this leg, but we're going to hopefully see all our North Carolina friends.
I did a movie down in Asheville.
It's
gorgeous.
That and Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill, whole area. Just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. All right, Tony in Ohio, you're on with Edie McClurg. Hello, Tony.
Hello, the official edition of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
I would like to put on my microeconomist hat today.
Oh, all right.
Over the weekend, in between the booze, cat calls, and barnyard noises, the budget monster, Mr. Ryan,
yes,
was heard to say that taxes on small businesses meaning those ultra millionaires.
Yes.
Would discourage.
Yeah, ExxonMobil is a small business,
yeah,
as you know.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, as a small businessman myself, I can tell you that taxes come off of profits, not net.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Which means everything I spend on new equipment or possibly ever hiring a new employee is entirely deductible.
Yeah.
And in fact, the higher my taxes, although I really wouldn't see them raised if I could, because I'm a very small businessman.
That's why I very cleverly keep the profits down here so that
indeed.
I have no tax liabilities.
Nothing like a slow economy to keep the profit margin small.
Yes. Yes. I thought this. Jim and I have talked about this. We aimed for this level of mediocrity so as not to, because your life gets far too complicated.
Sure.
And
Yeah. So the higher my taxes, the more incentive I have to hire a new employee or buy new equipment or make investments, and the lower incentive I have to take it, put it in my pocket, and go to Aruba.
Yep.
The lower my taxes, the more likely I am to end up in Aruba and leave my business behind.
That's
without
right.
putting any money into it.
That's right. You are
so
the smartest boy in class today.
And I wish pundits and people talking on TV would mention this because it's very, very simple. Krugman got it.
Yeah.
And how hard could that be?
How smart's got it?
Yeah, how hard can it be to win a Nobel Prize?
That's right.
Yes.
I mean, gosh, I've got three of them in my attic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what, Jim, we were saying last week, I can't remember who it was, you know, Charlie Sheen, I think we were saying, like, when you have that level of success and money, you just, you know, automatically. And so that's why I don't know about you, but I aimed for this sort of mid-level of mediocrity, whereby I wouldn't, you know, be tempted by large sums of money or any sort of, you know, wild success.
Palatial mansions.
Yeah, I just wanted to be right sort of here so that things are manageable and I have, you know, and my tax liabilities down, you know, that sort of thing.
No bridal paths.
No.
No.
Okay. This is by design. Okay. All right.
I have received word, though, that my Leaf, my Nissan Leaf, is now in line. I have, you know, there might be a date coming forward and I will get
you
the
are
car.
The greenest gal I know.
And I will have an electric port in my garage, which will charge it. And I have solar panels on my roof, which feeds the electricity,
nice.
And I will be zero emission.
You're Mrs. Green Jeans.
Thank you, Edie McClurg.
Thank you. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, back with more of the delightful Edie McClurg as we continue Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Edie McClurg, that's a good analogy. We were talking about the pushback the sexy liberal tour is getting. You know, bribes to shut it down. There's, you know, some places that we've heard are owned by conservatives.
They
you were
don't
saying,
want to give you the
and
hall.
You were saying by the what do you call it, in integration, like, oh, no, we're sold out.
Yeah, you can't, no, our motel, no, we're totally booked up.
We have no room, there's no room at the end, no.
And they said, well, what about all those dark rooms down there at the end of the motel here?
The construction.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a plumbing problem.
Mold.
Chris, could I have my nostalgia music?
Poltergeist.
Yes. Yeah, there's Poltergeist in there, sure. They're all white Poltergeists, though. There's no... Yeah. All right, Julie sends this along. Steph, the Wall Street Journal reports things haven't been this loosey-goosey, nobody's happy for the Republicans since 1964.
Ooh,
the year my dad and Goldwater.
Yeah.
Tank.
Let's use the word lost.
Tank.
The year you had to spend in seclusion so no one would realize the GOP vice presidential candidate was raising his Armenian mistress's unibrowed, sexually ambiguous wolf child. That's when politicians had the good sense to leave their ugly little spawn at home. Truly the gods of comedy are smiling on your sexy liberal children. You'll never want for material once these clowns pile out of the clown car and start arguing with each other on the TV. It's true. It's the insane clown posse, isn't it, Edie? The Republican field thus far. That'd be awesome if they'd all go to the debate in the same car. Come on, just for fun. Big shoes. Plenty gets one stuck under the stick shift. All right. Yeah. Donald Trump's hair gets lodged in the what do you call it? Sunroof.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you to drive the clown car off a bridge. That would be.
Do you remember when Trump used to be a big joke?
When did that stop?
It hasn't stopped, but all of a sudden it's just like, he's well known, therefore we must pay attention to him.
I know.
I'm a huge joke. He's running for president.
That was my first reaction, my second and my third. Are you kidding me? Donald Trump? All right, Wall Street Journal writes, crop of 2012 Republican presidential candidates is about to expand, adding faces to one of the most varied. And, they have variety, that's for sure.
Craziness.
And muddled GOP fields in decades, the lineup currently lacks a clear favorite to stir the GOP base to the dismay of many in the party. Gallup poll released Friday underscored an awkward situation facing the GOP. Two men who may not even run, Huckabee and Trump, tie for first among the Republicans surveyed with a scant 16% support apiece. Listen to this. The last Republican nominee to score under 20% in a Gallup poll at this stage prior to an election, Barry Goldwater in 1964.
Huckabee Trump in 2012.
Those were the good old days.
Jim Jordan, Democratic strategist, said the GOP field was remarkable for, quote, having no center of gravity, no front runner, no establishment choice, and no preeming at all and put on electability. Unless that changes by Labor Day, he said there's going to be a real panic in respectable Republican circles. Great piece. Oh, boy, Jim. I think as things go on, we may hear more Goldwater Miller references to this particular campaign. It's my dream, Edie, that somebody, someone could lose more state. I'm thinking that President Obama could conceivably win every state.
I think so. I think so.
Republicans could lose 51 states.
Yes.
I think it's entirely possible.
My dad in Goldwater won 6.
Is that the Virgin Islands?
American Samoa. They'll carry Samoa.
Oh, American Samoa.
Yeah. This is another story on the AP today. Birther claims force Republican leaders to take a stand. I mean, this is just how... this is a non-story. It's a conspiracy theory that won't go away. It's forcing Republican officials and presidential contenders to pick sides. Today, President Obama was born out of the United States and disqualified to be president. In recent days, several prominent Republicans have distanced themselves from it. But a new poll shows the two-thirds of adult Republicans either embrace or the claim or are open to it. Literally, almost 70% either don't think he was born here or are not sure. I mean, it's stunning. I mean, it's about 30% actually of the Republicans think he was born here.
I would like to see a take the facsimile of the birth thing and put it on T-shirts.
And what are the chances
all over America?
Right. What are the chances that Michelle Bachmann is the first one to get off the crazy train.
No, just have to take his word for it.
No, you can look at the actual... Yeah.
Stephanopoulos showed it to her. She's like, Dan, that should settle it.
Okay, Dan.
Okie dokie, Dan.
Doi.
29 minutes after the hour. Peter Gallagher next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Gee, that was fun, but in the future, let's save time and just roll around on gravel.
34 minutes after the hour. I agree with you.
It's a sexy liberal show, isn't it? Yeah. Running gravel?
We were just talking about, speaking of polls, we join... we are not in the 6% of Americans that care about this royal wedding. We're just like... Wow. Only 6% of Americans, really. Yeah, I don't know. It's whatever.
Talk about antiquated... issues.
Yeah. I don't know. I cared about Diana, and I can't get it up again for another royal wedding. It's just, they never work out. All right, so we have lots of stuff to get to. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. I'm such a big fan of this guy. Peter Gallagher, you know him as actor, musician, writer. He is narrating, though, a really important film called Gas Hole. Succinctly pronounced that. What the oil companies don't want you to know. Peter Gallagher joins us now. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Well, I'm pleased to be on the air with you.
This is such an intelligent film you're narrating, and Edie McClurg, you know how she is. She
was accidental.
She was just gushing over you. Oh, he's so handsome.
And smart.
I had nothing to do with either of them.
So tell us about this. Gasol examines oil industry's manipulations of the future of alternative energy. I think this is just fascinating. How did you get interested in this to even narrate it?
Well, I'd like to say I was merely drawn to the title. in fact, the fellas, Jeremy and Scott, didn't come up with that until after I voiced the narration. Melinda Clark, an actress whom I'd done the OC with, a TV show, she's friends with Jeremy and Scott, and she said, you know, my friends are doing that, and her husband, Ernie, at the time, just said, you know, my friends are doing this wild documentary about the oil business and about gas prices, and, you know, it'd be great if you narrated it for them. I said, all right.
Jumped right on board, eh?
It's like, you know, I said, well, okay, I'll meet these guys and, you know, look at their material. And it was amazing material.
Yeah.
It was one of the best stories I'd ever heard. It was like Chinatown, the movie. And I said, just tell me, Jeremy and Scott, please tell me that this is an amazing story. Is any of this true? And, you know, they sort of, you know, encouraged me that their research was quite genuine. I also like the fact that they weren't partisan. So.
Well, Peter, here's the thing. Obviously, you know, we've been talking about this all morning because the president was talking about gas prices over the weekend. We've all been talking about them. You know, there was just this earthquake in Japan, oil prices on the rise, a new 2.5-year high. But this is what's fascinating. The press release for the film says, although the spike in oil prices is perceived to be the result of uprisings in the Middle East and specifically the war in Libya, the world's oil supply has not been affected. The spike is actually due to the practice of profiteering from the public's uncertainty following a natural disaster or war. I mean, that is fascinating because people just go, oh, okay, yeah, that must be what it is.
Exactly.
They just buy it, right?
It's sheer genius.
Mm-hmm.
It's sheer genius. Whoever which way the wind is blowing, and it looks fairly catastrophic, whether it's man-made or natural, gas prices go up. I mean, that's sort of also, you know, it was like, I think everybody, the great thing about this DVD is it reassures you that you're not crazy. You know,
No, I was just going to say, you know, what I love about it, it sort of charts the oil companies' manipulations all along since the days of John Rockefeller using, graphics and archival footage. It really shows how the oil companies have repeatedly squelched all of these viable alternatives to petroleum by killing patents, buying out the competition, manipulating supply, reaping record profits following these natural disasters and political unrest. I mean, it makes you so angry, right?
Right. Well, I mean, you see that this is pretty standard operating procedure for most businesses. I mean, look what's been going on with banks and so on. Sports teams, you try to crush your opposition. But, you know, this is the ultimate success story because the oil, you know, companies traffic in our sort of lifeblood, economic lifeblood, that's not owned by anyone, really. And we pay them to take it, and then we pay them whatever they ask for. And so they're essentially bigger than the country the countries they've emerged from.
Well, you know, Peter, we all remember Edie McClurg was just talking about her new Leaf. She's the greenest girl I know. But, I mean, it's interesting. You know, we all saw Who Killed the Electric Car. But your film, I love, you know, it shows just the whole history of it, you know, talking even the vapor car, water-injected carburetors, how it's not just like just the electric car they killed, right?
No, I mean, there's all sorts, and it's also reassuring. They've purchased, you know, owned thousands of patents, you know, and that might potentially cause cars to use less gas or vehicles to use less gas and for them, you know, for their profits to be affected. And so it's astounding.
What you also cover how gas prices doubled, people may forget, in George Bush's presidency in less than two terms. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think it's one of those, you know, sleight of hands where you're throwing attention on the Middle East and you're throwing attention over here, and of course you have an oil man in the president's.
Never seemed like sheer coincidence to me. Yeah.
Yes, and after two terms, gas prices have doubled. So it's again this remarkable sleight of hand, in a climate where people are insisting that dinosaurs walked with people 6,000 years ago, and there is no climate change, and science is anyone with a loud enough voice is willing to, or a different opinion will try to discredit science.
Well,
you can believe anything.
And here's the thing: is you remember him giving it lip service? You remember him talking about
switchgrass.
Yeah, switchgrass. All that. But, the problem is we haven't done it. I mean, what I love about the film, Gashole, is that it talks about, first of all, you got to shine a light on it, right? To go, okay,
right.
How do we stop this? Because, like you say, there's been all of these great ideas that have been squelched. What is the future of alternative fuel? Talk to us about that.
Well, I mean, I guess there's some suspicion that we've passed peak oil already, and I think, this will be just a drop in the bucket, but I think anything to sort of reassure people that they haven't lost their minds and that, in fact, all you have to do is watch what was going on in Wisconsin by elected, legislators and
That's
representatives
right.
to deprive people of their rights in full view as members of our government. You can only imagine what goes on in, behind closed doors when real, huge, multi-billion dollar profits are at stake.
Well,
so, eventually we'll run out of oil or the price will go so high that alternatives will be, required, but hopefully we won't have lost our soul or our children's future.
Yeah. Well, Peter, the thing that made me the most mad and the most hopeful, in your film is, the line that says, it talks about the hidden technology from the last 65 years that would have drastically improved fuel economy and could have ended our dependence on foreign oil. I mean, all we can hope is that this will not happen in the future. You're thinking, how many more people have to die in wars? How many?
Right. Was it Studebaker had a car that got 150 miles per gallon in the 40s or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, our friend Rick Overton, who's a brilliant comedian, was in here, and he does this hilarious bit about all these people in heaven that have been assassinated, and, someone's like, what did you do? I invented a car that runs on water. But, God bless this film, and God bless for you, you for doing it, because that is the future if we're going to, like you say, if we're going to have one. So, Peter, thanks so much for doing that, and thanks for your time.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. My hat's off to Scott and Jeremy because, as I say, they were kind of conservative guys that got a hold of this and it's not partisan. And my hat's off to them for financing it and seeing it through all this time.
Yeah, absolutely not a partisan issue anymore. It's gasholemovie.com, correct, where we can find out more?
Right.
All right. Peter Gallagher, actor extraordinaire. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you, Stephanie.
All right.
I feel, Bob, that you just put a spring in my step for the day.
Mine, too. And I mean that in a saucy way.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Thank you, Peter. Edie McClurg.
I'm smelling
I have never
here.
Seen you. So girly.
Did I put my blush?
Oh my God, you're blushing. You're sweet on Peter Gallagher.
I am.
Not since the first time you were in here with us and you said, "Oh, Jim, you're just a dear," have I seen you get so flustered around a man.
Well, talented and handsome both.
Oh, thank you.
No, Peter.
Oh.
No. Both he said both. Both of them.
Both. Yeah.
Don't you throw my handsome mook under the bus. Ray in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. I think we're underestimating Donald Trump as a
please.
Candidate. Well,
really?
Yes, because something that irks the base the most, the right-wing base, is when someone gets something and they're undeserving. If someone undeserving gets a handout, and he seems like the kind of guy that can keep those undeserving people from getting their handout.
Yeah, because you should get your money the old-fashioned way, inherit it like he did, and then lose it four times, and then run on your record as a financial genius. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Just a little.
Did she say too much?
First of all, how do you lose money on casinos? And number two, how do you do it three times? The house is supposed to be in your favor.
I'm hugely incompetent. Huge.
Obviously.
I'm going to be president of Guam.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue with the waning moments, celebrity stack, and much more on Mondays with McClurg.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, sorry. Let me put my glow sticks down. I think there's going to be stage dancing in Syracuse with the folks from Marriage Equality to this song on the Sexy Liberal Tour. All right. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, Dave in Wisconsin was there. By the way, he said he was completely surprised at how many out-of-state violent, angry union thugs were at the Barrymore.
Ooh.
He said, actually, the only time I was concerned for my health and safety was when I laughed so hard I had beer come out my nose.
Well, that's just normal in Wisconsin.
We're coming back for the recall party. See you in 2012 when we have a different governor. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
You know what I said, E? I said, I think in a year or so, I'm going to be back here, and I'm going to be saying, do you remember who was governor a year ago? And they'll be saying, I don't recall.
No.
It's a recall joke.
Wait.
Okay.
Recall that joke.
All right. Oh, great time in medicine with the Satan worshippers for Easter. By the way, I got an e-card, E.D. It says, for Easter, it says, I ran out of tampons, so I'm using a peep.
Ooh.
Why do people send me these cards? Not an appropriate Easter card. That is...
That gives you chills.
Oh, dear.
Ew.
Oh, dear, as my mother would say. Oh, speaking of Lady Gaga, she considered having permanent face implants. I'm not even aware what these are. She was spotted... she had raised bumps to give her a more angular appearance on her face and shoulders in photos for the new album, for Born This Way.
She needed more angular?
Apparently.
Oh, my.
I didn't know you could have bumps added. You can have speed bumps added, apparently, to your face. Some teabaggers might want to consider that. Oh, you know, I'm just saying, if you like your teabagging slower...
By the way, Stephanie?
Yes?
The chat room says that tampon peep e-card was a chick joke.
Hey, we're at the chat room. Oh, the chat room's drunk. Okay. She said I did have the look into having them done permanently, but decided against it. They're doing new things all the time, aren't they, with various plastic surgeries. Okay. The Melania, she's the current Trump wife.
Melania.
She'd technically be the third lady if he were erected. Excuse me. I'm in elected.
I'm always erected.
I'm erecting buildings everywhere with my name on
them.
He's
huge.
Huge. Look at those buildings. They're huge.
By the way, Jim, I thought I'd stumbled into a cow field in Wisconsin Saturday night because I just mentioned Trump, and I didn't realize what the sound was. It was the whole audience going, huge,
huge.
I was like, what is it? Oh, you're saying huge. It's our little tribute to Jim Ward. Yeah.
Wow, I feel like some sort of Svengali now.
Exactly. And Jim Ward says it here, and then crowds of people.
Do you have to be Swedish to be a Svengali?
We are on fire this morning. On fire.
We're on something.
That was really silly.
The Mrs. Trump is birther. We found that out on, which college she was on a Joy Behar show. Blah, blah, blah.
I hope Joy gave her a what for.
Yes, she did, of course. A delisted writing. Melania Trump has spoken out about the birth certificate issue. And guess what? She's siding with the sugar pappy husband who keeps her skin slathered in liquid gold. She also, this may make you, she also doesn't understand why people make fun of her husband's hair.
Is she blind?
Yeah. Well, listen, if you were getting that kind of cash, you would change your opinion.
I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She called his hairstyle great and said she couldn't imagine him with any other do. Along with loving her husband's locks, she's a big fan of his legs, describing them as very long and beautifully shaped.
Ew.
Oh,
ew.
My God. Yeah. Weird.
Get me the
shivers. I wonder if at home he dresses like a woman more than Rudy Giuliani did. I don't know. How do you see those gams? All right. Once again, the Stephanie Miller Show, right in touch with the pulse of the American people. Only 6% of Americans care about Prince William and Kate Middleton. So, of course, CNN's doubling down on it. Their normal laser-like precision on what people want to watch. Wow. And here's another big shock, Jim. It's mostly chicks. It's all chicks.
Hmm.
They wanted that Yeah, I think it should run a lot of Cialis commercials because men are going to need a lot to counteract the. Because I think there's nothing that causes, you know.
I don't know.
More than talking about the royal wedding.
What? Kate's pretty hot, though.
Oh, well. So. But see, you can't. But it's a wedding, so you can't really focus on that.
Well, I can.
Hey, here's what we missed while we were in Wisconsin. Lindsay Lohan in jail, out of jail already. In jail, out.
Why did they take her back in?
Well, you know, for the little necklace incident.
Well, she put her right foot out. And
she did the jail hokey pokey that celebrities do here in L.A. Yes. Yeah, she was sentenced to 120 days in jail. She was sentenced to. Her lawyer filed an appeal and it was immediately paid. She was in there for about 5 hours.
Your Honor, my client is a celebrity. Oh well.
Well,
okay.
Oh God,
right,
I'm sorry. You know, we won't even close the door. We'll just
we'll make her look at an orange jumpsuit and then she can go.
Delisted rights. Somebody needs to get the justice system a jar of Vaseline and a Band-Aid because I'm sure it's. Oh, it's pretty much in all kinds of chafed due to how much Lindsay Lohan without lube.
Wow.
I mean, sentenced to 120 days and sat in there for as long as a Pink Floyd song. Justice system this morning is like, ow, ow.
There is no pain you are receiving.
Wow. Kirstie Alley says her Dancing with the Stars rehearsals are helping her shed weight. She started out in size 12 and then in size 8.
Oh, hold
she's
it.
She thinks she might be a size 6 soon.
No.
I don't.
No. She was a good 22 when she started. And she might be down to a 16 now. Have you took a look at those eyes?
Wow.
Please.
Catty just from Edie McClurg. Oh. I haven't heard that before.
Look, as a person who is overweight, I know sizes, and that's no.
That ain't no size 6.
No. In your dreams, maybe.
I knew Jackie Kennedy. I worked for Jackie Kennedy. You're no Jackie Kennedy. All right. Oh, Esmeralda's going to be so disturbed. The Bewitched creator, Saul Sachs, died in L.A. at 100 years old.
Sammy.
Wow, I didn't realize he was 100. 100 years old. I loved Bewitched.
Sam, would you want to live to 100?
Really. I don't think so. No.
It's the crinkly bad part.
Oh, listen, I'm barely going to make it to the end of the Sexy Liberal Tour. Are you kidding me? This is like, you should have heard how much I was bitching. I was like, two shows. This is too late for me. It's almost 10 o'clock.
You two shows.
Give her a nap. Give her a little nap.
You know, you never did two shows in the Catskills. You do one show and pack them in, and then you go.
And you never work blue.
Oh, Mama.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't get that note. Oh, Grampy McSame. Look, he's back with his same Libya policy. It's the same as every other policy. Bomb, 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 Iran.
It's pretty obvious to me that the United States has got to play a greater role in the air power side. Our NATO allies neither have the assets nor, frankly, the will.
You know, is that always his strategy for every situation?
We have to fight now, sir. Annihilate. Kill. Kill.
Shut up.
All right. Oh, we have to send our thoughts and prayers out to the folks in St. Louis. The mayor there, by the way, there was a tornado, you know, in St. Louis. Mayor Francis Slay.
It's stunning to see the damages here. And what's also stunning is that there weren't more people that were hurt.
Yeah, anyway. All right, Edie McClurg, you are just delightful and always, and I'm going to find more stories you can be catty about because I love that part. Tomorrow we have Rude Pundit, Ian Millhiser,
size
Charlie Pierce.
Six my ass.
And Allie Velshi, the bald-headed prophet of doom.
I didn't say that, Jim.
I'd like to thank executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Dee Dee Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.